mein auf den Supercast.
Hello and welcome to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast, episode 341. I'm Adam, and I can never look at you again. And here's Kirby Bartlett Sloan.
You look like you're trying to run. Would you like some help with that?
Mary Lang.
Fear keeps you fast. Fast is good.
And Debbie Melrose.
All we've got left is a good death.
And this week, listeners, I apologise for two things. One, no Facebook Live video feed, because I need my phone for using it as a phone rather than using it as a camera device. And two, I've been very busy and didn't have time to compile the quiz. So it's quite possible that next time we do a quiz, it'll be a bumper edition. So I apologise for that. We're just going to concentrate on housekeeping things like the episode of Doctor Who this week, which was called...
Oxygen.
And a bit of news, maybe, and some feedback. Well, I didn't get a lot of feedback because I forgot in my busy state to post on the Facebook page.
I posted on the Facebook page and we got feedback.
What?
Pay attention.
Pay attention. What? Shut up. I've only dropped out of what my work quickly to do this podcast. I haven't had time to look at any Doctor Who
we love you,
groups
Adam.
Or anything.
Yes, we do.
And I've only just about had enough. I finished work at the wedding at about 11:30 on Saturday night. Came home, and I watched Doctor Who at 12:30. Got to bed at about 1:30, and then up for work at 7:00 in the morning. So that's how I watched Doctor Who. If I hadn't watched it then, I wouldn't have got to watch it at all. So there we go. That's how busy I've been this weekend, and it's probably going to be like that for the rest of the summer. But I will try and compile.
Oh, no quizzes for the rest of the summer?
No. Well, it's going to be difficult. I mean, the weddings I've got. No, they'll be rubbish if you do them.
Why?
Woo! She took the bait on that. Normally, when it's just gloss over it, is just saying that to wind her up. But we'll go, why?
I've got a cold. I'm a bit
pathetic. No excuse. Shouldn't fall for that. But no.
I'll come around and infect you then.
What? I haven't started any conversations yet. Oh, my tea's too
master?
Hot. Yes!
You have no spare devices? I thought you had 28 different Macs.
I've got two Macs, but you can't go Facebook Live on a Mac or on a PC for that matter. Well, I don't think you can on a PC.
Could.
No, you can't.
Could.
Well, I haven't found a way of doing it.
You can.
Well, of course you can.
Go Facebook Live and it goes da-da.
Are you sure? Let's have a look, shall we? Let's go on to.
Yes.
So I'll go into a.
Oh, see, he's risen
bloody
to that.
Hell! I've only just added that.
Yeah,
cool.
We got several bits of feedback.
They've only just added that live video thingamajig. Ooh, that's quite cool.
No, from what I posted.
No, I'm talking about from my computer.
He's talking about doing the cam thing, you know, the Facebook.
Do you only can do two video
that's
in
weird.
You
that's
and
weird.
Me?
I saw Ian's feedback yesterday, and I don't see it this morning.
Yeah, it doesn't seem to be on there now, but it was yesterday.
I've got his feedback, thank you very much. It's an exclusive.
Well, no, I know, but the thing is it's nice to read along because I don't always understand it.
Well, this is going to be the future for going live on Facebook because I'm never going to have to try and balance my phone on my DVD recorder with some Blu-ray ever again.
Can your computer handle both?
It's a Mac.
Whoops, did you? I don't know if you heard that.
It's a Mac.
No. Computer. Good morning. Computer.
Even your computer hasn't woken up yet.
Good morning, viewers. New angle today. And my shirt's around the right way around. Look. All my wording's correct.
Well, yes, it is.
Yes, and we've got to get going because I've got to move Deb in about 20 minutes. But Kirby seems to be distracting everybody from the actual doing of the show.
That's my job.
No, it isn't.
That's what you pay me for.
No, it isn't.
You get paid.
Do it so well, we keep you around.
That's a bit annoying, really. So I should really watch do my review of Doctor Who via the computer, but I've got to look over that way. Because that's where the TV is. So never mind, we'll do it that way. But Did we start the show yet? We did, didn't we? But something went wrong. Whose fault was that? And I haven't got my... I can't deduct points this week. It's very frustrating. Right. Alexa, have you ever heard of Kirby Bartlett Sloan? Ooh, thinking about it.
Sorry, I'm not sure.
No, nor am I.
Faster? When did you get an echo?
Well, it's my birthday the other day.
Happy birthday, Mark.
Excellent.
It's only a little thingy.
Aren't they marvelous?
It's an Echo Dot. It's very compact and sits on my desk nicely.
So's mine. I have my Echo Dot's right over there.
My Echo Dot's just right down there. And Alexa?
I may have to.
Yeah, that confused you, didn't you? Kirby butted in. That's not going to answer me now because you butted in. Right then.
Sorry, I know about Kirby butter.
Anyway, this week we're going to be looking
What you need to do is rename it.
I'm not renaming it because I like the name Alexa. No, Melis thinks I'm asking you a question now. Shut up. Right. This week we're going to be looking at oxygen and we're going to do it now before I lose the will to blimmin' live. Right. by the way, the people on the video have joined the show about 2 minutes late. So we've got Kirby, we've got Mary, and we've got Debbie for people who are joining in the video feed. Anybody on? Oh, no. What's the point? Right, so the show starts with some bodies floating through space. What? I'm just saying what I'm seeing on the screen.
I know, I said cool, what a great start.
Oh, that's right. Mm-hmm. Why are you disagreeing with me?
Those body harnesses on because that's how people spin when they have those floating body harnesses on.
There's a short video on YouTube. There's a short video on YouTube showing the filming of this. Also, mm-hmm. I believe that structure is the same structure that was the mast on top of the Empire State Building from Dr. Mysterio.
Ah, okay. Thank you.
It also looked very much like a Dalek base.
What did?
The spaceship.
Did it?
Yeah.
Daleks have faces? Oh, base.
Oh, base. Yeah. Excellent.
Ba-dum-ching.
Anyway, so these sort of bodies land on, not dead at this point, but they land on the tower.
They're getting better.
And they climb down and they do sort of relate to the fact that they're running out of oxygen.
Relationship.
Yeah, they're married, aren't they?
Yeah, I think so.
What?
No.
What do you mean no?
No, not necessarily.
Item.
She's just wanting to express her feelings and knows that she can't be heard.
No, she didn't know. She realised the comms link was down then. She goes, oh, all right, maybe I'll tell you later.
Oh, yeah, she did. That's very good. I've only seen this once. But anyway, so they're trying to get into the thing, space station thingy. But he's having a few problems getting in. And then the woman looks over her shoulder and goes, ah! That was going to be my quote. I was going to go, ah! Because there was quite a lot of that in this story.
Yes, there was.
Anyway, the flap opens. He looks over his shoulder. She's gone. And then he goes, ah! And then we see a few people... zombie type things walking around the surface of the outer hull of the space station.
Oh, that was good and creepy.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah. And then we go back to the university where the doctor is doing a lecture about... Basically, we did hear the doctor's voice at the beginning of the... talking about... what was he talking about?
Crop rotation.
Yeah, but then he went off on one talking about...
He was mimicking that monologue from Star Trek. Space Final Frontier.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I bet the Star Trek fans would have loved that.
There, you guys can now see, I just posted on Facebook my new basement setup.
Yay!
And you can see the device I'm using for Skype is the little one off to the right. So I'm using it just for that purpose, nothing else. So we shouldn't ever have problems.
I love the way he says that just after we hear noise. We should never have problems. Do you ever Kirby, do you ever listen to this show?
Sometimes.
Yeah, I think you should listen to it all the time. I've been listening to back episodes, the ones I haven't heard because of being taken out by playing Pokemon Go for 6 months. So I've now actually been listening to back episodes, and there's quite a lot of instances that you should listen to. Like, basically the whole show. I can't understand why nobody on this program listens to the show. I think we should deduct... What?
I listen most of the time.
That's not all of the time. So there will be should be points deducted for people who on this show who don't listen to the show. I mean, if the actual people on the show can't listen to it, why on earth would the other people that are supposed to listen to the show listen
to
the show?
I'm listening to it quite a lot.
We've already heard it all.
No, you haven't. Yeah. Being part of the show and partaking in it doesn't mean to say you've heard it all, because people interrupt people who don't get the full picture. You should listen to the show.
Back to the episode.
Oh, my God!
The skull, which he ends up drawing on the blackboard.
Yes.
That is cool, yeah.
Oh, sorry, I thought you were going to elaborate on it. Yes, he does draw a skull on the blackboard, and then the girl puts her arm up and says, what's this got to do with crop rotation?
And that's the assistant producer of the episode.
Is it?
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yep. Hey, Debbie! Got one up on Herbie.
I had her name down somewhere. Let me find it.
Does it really matter?
Oh, it's an interesting fact.
No, it doesn't, does it? Come on.
Lauren Pate.
Marvellous. Oh, we're seeing Kirby's chest. Right, so then we cut to...
I'm looking for a way of plugging in Alexa over here.
Does it matter about Alexa?
We don't want to hear Alexa.
Don't worry, Alexa. It's all right. Yeah.
Sorry. I'm not sure.
No, I'm not sure either. It's just Kirby. So, yeah, the doctor has a conversation with Nardole outside the vault. And then, shut up, Kirby, mute yourself. And then they're in the TARDIS. And I think Bill is reading some books to do with the course. And then Nardole comes in and they go off for a little ride. And
interesting how our the fluid links, which were first heard of, In the second story.
Yeah.
Not second episode, second story.
All right, second story, yes. No, that was quite pleased that they brought in the fluid links. That was good fun. They go on a little ride and land in classic Doctor Who fashion in a space station. In fact, the space station.
Well, he's sort of leading Bill to find trouble rather than just go and have a look in a corner of space.
Yes, but
he's like, let's go where distress call. Let's go where the universe is calling us.
Yes, but fact that they're on a spaceship that we're going to have corridors, which is always very good in Doctor Who. Yes, Kirby.
It won't matter where they choose to go. The TARDIS will take them where the distress call is.
Indeed.
Exactly. So he's like, let's just cut out the middleman and go.
Indeed. Yes, Kirby, you were going to say.
Yes, I have a problem with the space station.
What problem?
We've established that we've got the artificial gravity and also that they've got the magnetic boots, but the entire space station is spinning as if it needs centrifugal force gravity, and that is unnecessary if you've got the artificial gravity. So why is it spinning?
Wibbly wobbly, timey-wimey.
just for the fun of it.
Does it show that 8-year-olds watch and they're not asking that question?
Tom pointed it out as well. It was like, shut up, just enjoy it.
Yes, indeed. Thank you. Right. So
I do like how Bill does the very doctorish jumping up and down for the gravity.
Jumping up and down. Yeah, so we see a sign that says air costs, save your breath. Now, it's quite interesting, this. I've always thought about, the fact we get taxed on this, all these sort of weird things that you shouldn't really get taxed on. And we thought one day they may tax air. And obviously this is what they've done in this story, which is quite good. But in space, you can sort of imagine it, can't you? Because there's not a lot of air.
It's a valuable commodity in space, yeah.
Indeed it is. So, yeah.
Now, one of my quotes was going to be about the doors. Shuck, shuck.
Shuck,
chuckle.
Yes.
Is that your impression?
I'll be back
impression
in about 10 seconds.
All right, we can finish it, but then without any interruptions for 10 seconds, we should get through this.
Yeah, hurry up.
Poor Mrs. Hippie. Bye.
Oh, no, he is coming back. Oh God, he's got his Echo Dot with him.
Oh dear.
Anyway, moving on. So, yeah, like you say, Bill looks out the window, is quite amazed. Goes immediately from being uninterested in being in space to being very interested in being in space. And then we see a very creepy dead person.
Oh, that was good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
of course, the suit, we now start to realise the suit is alive and the dead person inside isn't. Yeah, sorry, you're going to say something? I see Kirby's midriff now. Right.
What's wrong, Mike? Come to
claw me. It's just teasing us.
No, I'm not.
no, I was plugging in my Echo Dot.
Okay.
Now, this is my second Echo Dot. I've got another one upstairs.
Okay. Woo! Thank you for that. Right, so they find a room where this what looks like a robot is walking backwards and forwards, but the helmet is sort of tinted out, which is interesting because none of the other helmets were tinted out, but obviously for the benefit of the story, this particular helmet.
Well, it was needed for the plot.
Yeah, obviously.
Ashton Arada, oh dear.
Yeah, really, that's what I'm expecting. The lace to come out.
Do they not take the helmet off and it's an empty suit?
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. And the doctor did it in a spectacular fashion with his sonic screwdriver, which is going to be dead in a.
But how many times a sonic screwdriver has been damaged and ruined, and they've always come back again as good as new? I seem to remember in one Matt Smith story, a fish swallowed it, and then it ended up broken in a drawer, and then he still had the sonic screwdriver afterwards. So I think that he can probably get another one.
I don't remember that.
It was a shark, wasn't it?
It was a shark, yes.
Oh, the shark. Yeah. Oh, yes.
And the broken end was kept by...
The shark in the overrated Christmas special. Yes.
Overrated at all. That was one of the best.
Flying fish, and of course, Dumbledore was in it as well.
Dumbledore!
I know your reference.
Sorry. One of my favorite things.
Yes. Can we get
computer.
On?
Computer. Oh. Would you like a jelly baby?
I'll try one.
Alexa, would you like a jelly baby?
I don't have an opinion on that.
No, I didn't think you would.
All right, you have to. No, you didn't say it right. Computer, would you like a jelly baby?
Yes, please. Doctor.
Alexa, would you like a jelly baby?
Yes, please. Doctor.
Ooh.
Can we get back to the story, for goodness sake?
But this was Doctor Who related.
Yeah, but not this particular Doctor Who related.
That's it. We're definitely getting one.
Anyway, at some point, all the doors shut. And there's a vacuum between them and the TARDIS, which is, again, classic Doctor Who, that they end up on the PlayStation, they get isolated from this TARDIS, and then they quickly find out.
Yes, didn't we just have that in one of the most recent Pertwees that we just watched?
Quite possibly, because it does happen quite a lot in that era.
Yeah, it comes up a lot in Doctor Who, yeah.
Mutants you're talking about, aren't you?
Yes.
Yeah. And there's another one, a Tom Baker story that sticks to mind that they get isolated from the TARDIS. But anyway, moving on to this one. Yeah, so they get isolated and the sonic screwdriver gets sucked out of the doctor's hand and then gets crushed to bits by this suit. And he's not happy about this. He went, oh, as he took it out of his cold, dead hand.
My sonic. Yeah. It's like when
Tom
takes my pen sometimes, and I'm just like, huh?
Panic starts to grow among the TARDIS crew. And for some reason, they realise they're running out of oxygen, don't they? So they decide to jump in the suits because there's a bit of a supply in the suits, and they've got the force fields that keep the air in or whatever.
And the ship purges whatever extra oxygen is in the air.
You don't need this, so I'm getting rid of it.
That's a scene from that reminded me from Sharda, when the computer says, "Oh, you're dead. All dead people don't need air."
Yes,
That's right.
And there's a really iconic scene that will probably become iconic of modern Doctor Who, of all the zombie space people walking around the outer hull of the space station. It's only a quick scene, but it's very iconic. I noticed friend of the show, John Davey, is the second one back of the zombified crew. Yes, oh, friend of the show, yeah. Don John Davy, in clear view. He'll be pleased about that. So anyway, they get in their spacesuits, but Bill's spacesuit's a bit defective.
Better.
And they start sort of going around the space station. They eventually bump into the living crew. Obviously not going to be living for long.
The space suit. Then there's a really uncomfortable moment with the blue guy.
Yeah. But not yet, though. Not yet. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, it is yet. Sorry, I beg your pardon. The blue guy, that's obviously... Is he any relation to Dorian Thingamajig?
Yeah.
I think it must be.
Yeah.
The actor's name is Peter Caulfield, and he's normally called PC, but they often on set will refer to Peter Capaldi as PC.
Okay.
So they start calling him Blue Peter. there's a short interview on YouTube with him.
Oh, cool! I'll have to find that.
Yeah, but it's quite a good little scene of a racism
actually,
scene.
That should be in my season purchase. They do all the little ones like that. I'll have a look.
Yeah.
I've got a series pass.
Yes, okay. I haven't looked at the extras yet in my series pass. I'll have to look into that. But I've been busy, as I keep saying. Anyway, so like we say, Bill's suit doesn't work properly.
The arms,
she sort of keeps on having problems with it.
I like the fact that Nardole knows the lady who did it, who does the voice for the suit.
Yeah.
And she then calls her suit Velma. Very Scooby-Doo.
Yeah, yeah.
It had to be a Scooby-Doo thing.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah, brilliant. They're sort of, they're trapped. They have called for help, I believe, if I remember rightly, but no one's going to come. And then there's a part of the space station that hasn't been mapped by the zombified. So they go and hide in that area.
Section 12, isn't it, or something?
But obviously, very soon, it does get mapped, and then they start getting chased after. And then the leader bloke with a beard gets killed. They just touch him. Now, that reminds me of something else. It was the Ambassadors of Death, wasn't it? Touch, dead.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Electrocution, isn't it?
And space spoots as well.
You know, I had completely forgotten that this one was written by Jamie Matheson.
Yeah.
He was the guest last weekend at Time Game at Hoolanta.
He was.
And I he was one of the guests. I didn't go to. I just saw him in like a couple of things where he was with other guests. I didn't go to his specific things. Like he did a commentary on.
Is that Laurie Anderson?
Not Flatline.
Oh, Superman. Oh, Mom and Dad.
Whatever.
That was pretty. Whatever. I'm surprised you can't hear your voice going funny on my live audio thingy.
No, I can't.
Oh, okay. That's right. Listen to the show, Kirby. There's a lot, isn't there, Mary? Isn't there lots of funny moments incorporating Kirby and his sort of internet link? Yes, there is.
I can imagine. Yes.
You can imagine. Listen to the show, you'd know it. Anyway,
if I disconnect the camera, it might sound better. Let's try that.
Oh, but we won't be able to see you. Okay.
Well, why would you need to see me?
Okay, I'll disconnect my camera as well. See if that makes it any better.
That wouldn't make any difference to me.
It might do. Anyway, back to the show.
So we're just left with Debbie.
The camera in there.
Yeah, Debbie's the only one. Anyway, so like I say, the bloke with the beard gets zombified. It's quite creepy, that scene when he does get killed, isn't it? Oh, now the wife's calling. Hang on. This is very important. In fact, it's an
emergency. That's the phone.
Hello?
Hello.
Yes, I can, dear. Yes.
Okay, see you in a minute.
Yes, goodbye. Bye. Right, you'll have to carry on. Is that right, Deb? Can you carry on from this point?
We'll be all right. Whereabouts are we up to?
We're up to the bit where the beardy bloke gets done in. He gets killed, but he gets zombified.
All right. Carry on.
Okay. Now, the island's so small. Why can't she just step out, walk for 3 minutes, and be where she needs to be? Also, there have been times when you've joined the podcast from the car.
Oh, come on.
I'm just rallying you up. Come on.
All right, so what happens next then?
Well, one thing I liked when all the zombies were marching around, it's very Cyberman. Clank, 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 clank. Oh,
that's because of their mag boots, yeah.
Well, it did seem like it was suggesting it was something other than, obviously, we all knew what it was going to go, what it was going to be, because it was quite obvious. But I did have hopes that he was just going to throw us a curveball and make it something like the Cybers. Because I'm so looking forward to having them on the show again.
Oh.
Okay. The original ones. But I did wonder, I was trying to read a bit too much into it. At the beginning of it, I was saying to Tom, oh, you know, it's going to be about corporate. It's all about corporate, this one. And he was like, oh, no, it's Vashti Narada. It's Vashti
Narada. I sure hope that we have an Alan T. Butcher bit of feedback.
I'm sure we have. Yeah.
Well, I don't know. Isn't he busy now with his run?
Well, I hope he does a bumper feedback at the end of the series, season two.
Yeah, yeah.
No. So where are we up to then?
Is my sound any better or not?
We'll sound paragraphs,
you know, so one of us doesn't get worn out trying to...
Okay, so my sound problem was probably the fact that I had video on.
Yeah, you're fine. Because everybody else is off. Sat here sewing at you, it's so exhilarating.
So what was the point of my putting up the little backdrop?
Kirby, never mind.
We'll go back to your video and let's see if you recreate the problem, and then we'll know for sure.
I'll do that. Let's see, to find the right mouse.
The way to solve a problem is to recreate the issue.
Okay, I've got the video back on.
Okay, so far you sound fine.
Yeah, you sound fine.
Well, I don't know what the problem was before.
Okay, shall we carry on? Right,
where are we?
The guy had just been killed, the beardy guy had just been killed as they were running to Section 12. So, obviously, they're going out in the airlock, and that's when Bill's helmet... What happens to it? It just says it's not operative, or
it's not operative. Yeah.
Yeah. It just stops. And
I do like the fold up helmets. That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
And pull it out of a pouch and go. What?
And it's downright scary when she's taking the helmet off. You know.
Yeah, because they're already opening the airlock. They can't.
Yeah.
Got them coming behind them, and it's like. Yeah. Ah! Oh, that was actually pretty effective because her panic was.
Oh, yeah.
And then obviously see Magic.
Poster. I must be back.
No, that's Star. I think it's the poster. The poster is probably outside going, I can hear voices, but nobody's coming.
I'm going to call the local police.
Star. Oh, shut up.
You should have been over there.
As she's succumbing to the vacuum of space, and the CGI effect of her sort of frosting up and
I think that was makeup.
Was it? They crept it across her face, CGI.
Who was counting the seconds though while she was doing this? Because remember his lecture from the beginning that it takes 9 seconds to lose consciousness. I was.
Yeah, no, I was breathing and counting and going,
yeah,
God,
counting the seconds to see, okay, when is she gonna, you know, be dead?
Oh no, it was really effective. Obviously then
at the beginning it's CGI and then later it's makeup.
There you go. Because I was wondering the way they crept it across her face, it probably would have been easier just to CGI it these days rather than sort of makeup.
Yeah. Stopping and add more makeup, yeah.
Yeah, but I like the way you saw the battle going on, you know, as they're trying to get across to Section 12.
Yeah, that was very, very effective.
It was actually my favorite scene in the whole of this was the way she was succumbing to it.
Yeah.
And, you knew she was going to be all right. You knew the doctor was going to do something, but it was just such a atmospheric.
Well, you know, since, lack ever of since the fifth doctor followed his cricket ball to the TARDIS through hard space, I figured the Doctor, you know, giving up his helmet would be unaffected. The Doctor had a space.
Except he had a helmet in that episode. And no spacesuit. Yes.
The Fifth Doctor? No. He just... Yeah.
Okay.
Was he just in his outfit with a helmet, though?
Yeah, he had a helmet.
Yeah, he was.
He had a helmet and his cricket whites and the cricket ball.
As you do, yes, yeah. But then you get Bill waking up.
Yeah.
It's like a funeral, you know, funerary quiet in section 12, and then you've got all the zombies who just stood there.
Yeah, yeah.
This was such an atmospheric one for it being a corridor, you know, running through base corridor episode. This was actually up there for the scares more so than say the one where they were underwater with the Fisher King.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, this was scarier than that.
Yes.
The one when they had the ice warrior you're talking about?
No.
No, the one with the Fisher King, where they go back inside the base underneath the flooded town.
Before the flood.
Yeah, before the flood. There you go.
Okay. And what's the other one?
Under the sea. I don't know.
Yeah, something like that. That was 2 years ago. How are we supposed to remember back then?
I know. I could barely remember the last 5 minutes, let alone 2 years ago. Can't remember how to thread a needle at this rate, honestly. But what I don't understand is why the Doctor went, you know, he's never alluded to a weakness like this physically.
Right. I mean, and he always seems to get out of non-breathing situations by saying he's got a special breathing apparatus or whatever. So, but I guess that would mean he could survive, but he's never mentioned his eyes before.
No. I just wondered if he had, you know, as in like, because I've not remembered anything, but I wondered if he'd maybe made a passing comment, because Stephen Moffat doesn't just.
Oh, yeah.
Like this. There must have been something we've missed in a previous episode.
Well, the next three episodes are all linked together, and I'm sure it was a necessary thing for the next three episodes.
We'll have to be generation, won't we? So, yeah, it's going to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No! And I was a bit disappointed. I thought we were going to get more of the vault this week.
Oh no! It was just I think it's the distraction because the next three episodes are going to be vault related.
Well, so did I you think see it, in the coming attractions we see Missy, so she's obviously not in the vault if she's going to be in the next episode.
Or she's out of the vault, but I still reckon it's the previous incarnation of the.
Well, we somehow end up at the Vatican next time.
We're jumping ahead though because obviously you've got River Song's book in there and things like that. But
actually half a second. Anyway, where are we with the episode?
They're going into section 12, and the Doctor's given up his helmet to Bill, who now is coming around.
Yeah, and
Blue Peter gets killed.
Yes.
Yeah, but first of all, we realise that voice recognition has worked out that who somebody says section 12, we made it all the way to section 12, and voice recognition of this, you know, the space station goes, oh, right, and manages somehow just from the word section 12 to find a schematic.
Yeah,
it's like they can't come in where there isn't a floor map, and then somebody says section 12, and all of a sudden there's a floor map. So I don't know. I didn't really get that.
No. They moved from one section to another. They moved from the unmapped section to a mapped section.
No, they stay in it, and suddenly the computer.
Yeah, I missed that.
Suddenly the computer
picks it up. Yeah.
Creates the whole.
And I don't know how that sudden just calling it section 12. I don't know how that suddenly gives them, you know, the knowledge of what section 12 is.
That's exactly my point. It was all of a sudden, one of them mentioned it, and you saw the voice pattern, and then you saw analyzing going on the map, and suddenly they had section 12 and were marching towards Dachren. Dachren.
Blue Peter.
No, that was.
I think they should have Blue Peter on Blue Peter.
Is that still on?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh.
Isla's still in that limbo stage of TV where sometimes we have the baby stuff and sometimes we have age appropriate. So I'm not really au fait with Blue Peter and things like that at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes my girls will go back and watch stuff that they watched when they were little and enjoy. Watch what?
She-Ra.
Oh, okay.
He-Man's sister. I still watch that.
That was not my era.
But Bill wants the Doctor to make jokes, doesn't she? Because she tells her she's
gonna, go through a terrible ordeal, so that would scare the bejesus out of me if the Doctor was looking at me and saying, you're gonna have it's this horrible thing suck. Happen to you. We're gonna leave you here. He's like, oh no.
Can you make a joke? Please make a joke. Is that a good thing or a bad thing? Her panic is so genuine there as well. Yeah. She's such a good actress. You were really rooting for her, even though that she's going to be okay.
Yeah.
But really rooting for her when she realised she was being left behind.
I mean, she's in an oxygen deprivation state for an awfully long time to just come back unaffected.
Yeah. Do you think she'd be a bit more than slightly wobbly?
Yeah.
You'd think she'd be wibbly.
Yeah, she should be wibbly as well, at least. At the very least, obviously this is one of those moments where you have to suspend, even though he's spent a long time in the beginning telling you the effects of being exposed to space, the vacuum of space. The fact that she just sort of shrugs it off as though it was nothing really, Maybe she was turned slightly zombie, she recuperated quicker.
Right.
Hang on. Yeah, she was just running around like it was normal until that point, wasn't she?
Yes.
Hmm. And so they all go. Where do they end up? They end up in the control room, isn't it?
In the reactor.
Yeah,
they're at the core. Yeah, so that the Doctor can do his thing,
which is very ingenious,
even though he's blind.
Yes, but he's still got a QWERTY keyboard. I do like the fact he says at one point he thought he was tweeting.
Yeah. Yeah. So we're locked out. Oh, gee, and I thought I was just tweeting.
Well, I love that. It was a great idea, but obviously he couldn't tell them what he was doing because the suits would hear. But by that time, I'd already gone, oh, I know what he's going to do because, it was all about the corporation and the costing the money. And I was like, well, I said to Tom about 10 minutes earlier, if they just rig the suits so that they're indispensable, then the corporation won't kill them. And lo and behold.
You need to write for the show.
I think I do. I have a very similar style to Moffat, I think.
Is Master Tom back?
I don't know. It could be the post.
Yeah, well, that's clever of you because I didn't figure that out. And
yeah, I didn't either.
Until he said
fed up with corporate Britain at the moment. It's the way my mind's working in unemployed status, I think. But
He's back.
I seem to be able to predict which way he's going with it, and I still enjoy the ride, but
not talking about what you thought of the story, for next week.
No, we're talking about the fact that I'd realised what he was going to do with the suits way before he did it.
Lucky, though, won't be point deducting points then, but just think yourself.
She's a clever clogs, that's why.
That's all that's happening. I'm just asserting my smarty pants reputation. We're just talking about the bit where obviously he makes the suits indispensable to the space station.
Hang on, so where are we now? I've got to fast forward a bit here.
That's where we're at. We're at the fact that he's just...
We're around 38, 39, 40.
Thank you, Kirby. Point reinstated for future reference.
When they talk about the replacements coming, all I can think of is, well, what good are the replacements if these zombies are still marching around ready to attack them? Yeah.
Yes. But what about the bit where obviously Bill says to Bill, I know this is earlier on, but I want to discuss stuff that I wasn't around for. No, he says to Bill, that's it. Well, you're going to have to die well and blah, blah, blah. And and then, of course, he swaps the suits around as well. So he makes himself blind. And how did you feel about that rather big.
Well, we were questioning his survival ability in vacuum space and discussing the Fifth Doctor. Whether or not he had a helmet on, because we couldn't remember properly. But
I think he had a helmet on. He just didn't have a, you know, his body
was. Yeah, that was it. That's what we were talking about.
Hey? Master?
Yeah.
I'm sure he did. I'm sure there's a picture of him.
Four to Doomsday, you're talking about. I'm pretty sure he had a helmet on, but you could see his costume. Yeah.
Yeah, but he just had a normal costume on as well. Yeah. You know?
So his body wasn't.
I don't remember him with a helmet on.
Yes, he definitely had.
He definitely had a helmet, but we haven't watched that one yet, Mary. But there are.
I was trying to remember what it was called, because I've
Four to Doomsday. I've just told you twice.
Yes, you just reminded me of it. By the way, Joshua Dial has a good point.
Does he?
You know,
we're not talking about feedback, are we? Otherwise, are we points deducted for future reference?
No, this has to do with what we're talking about.
All right.
He points out, remember, it's his eyes we see in Day of the Doctor. And Day of the Doctor apparently happens after this.
Huh?
Or likely happens after this.
Day of the Doctor.
What?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. No, sir. All 13.
All right. Well, catch me up. What do you mean this happens?
I'm really confused.
Yeah. What about his eyes?
It's the 13 doctors all turn up.
He's obviously doesn't stay blind. We see working eyes and working eyebrows, his attack eyebrows, in Day of the Doctor.
Yeah, but we don't know the Day of the Doctor was done before the stuff we're seeing now.
I get the feeling that it's after. I think most people think that it's after.
Yes, a lot of feedback and discussions on the forums are saying that it's after.
Just because they're talking about it and saying it's after, as the man himself said it's after?
No, it's just speculation.
It's speculation. There is
a strong rumor that we are going to be leading into Day of the Doctor by the end of this season.
Yeah.
Wow, I haven't seen any of that. Really?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
I'll see if I can link something.
Okay. Weird. Can we go on?
Obviously, Adam
so we're
like
up to the bit. Sorry, you said about 38 minutes. I do apologize.
Yeah, basically the doctor has locked them out of the computer. He's rigged it so that they are indispensable to the corporation.
Oh, that's right. Yes.
Yeah, literally, they're just coming in when he says, if you check your systems, you know, we are now rigged to blow. So,
yeah.
But it's that all that lovely speech about a glorious death, all you have left is
is
good death. Let's make it brilliant, you know, that sort of thing. It's a great he's been given some wonderful motivational little speeches and things.
Yes. This is the best of his series. This is just fantastic.
I just wanted to say somewhere along the line,
Mercedes-Benz.
Anyway, so like I say, he is blind, and then Bill walks in, but he's done something to Bill that she's not dead.
No, the suit didn't have enough power to electrocute her.
Yeah.
She's
been without oxygen for an awfully long time.
Yeah, we were speculating on that one.
And what did we speculate?
Well, the speculation is he spends such a long time at the beginning saying about your chances of surviving in space and oxygen deprivation and things like that. And there's Bill just after she's just woken up like, la 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 la, survived the vacuum of space.
Oh, okay.
That's all we were talking about. What's your opinion?
Yeah.
I hadn't even considered the oxygen deprivation. So, like, I've only seen this once, so I'd just like to point out, I hadn't even considered that. But obviously, he did make a point of don't hold your breath in space because because your lungs will explode. But that would be difficult to do, though, wouldn't it? It would be difficult. Wouldn't it be an automatic thing to do? If you're exposed to the vacuum of space, that you would automatically hold your breath.
The vacuum in your lungs is equalized, so how do you draw breath?
Well, you wouldn't be able to. You'd just draw a vacuum, wouldn't you? But the fact that
you can't draw a vacuum.
Can you?
Oh,
but it's the vacuum that's created in your lungs that makes you inhale. So if you've removed, if you've equalized the vacuum in the lungs with the space, you have no motivation to inhale.
Ah. I'd rather not test that scenario out, to be fair.
My be fun. It's a good day out.
Yeah. And there's a little bit, there's a little scene where the wife or the girlfriend of that bloke sort of comes up and sort of gives him a hug.
No, she doesn't. She gives him the oxygen. He's looking at her and she's just looking straight through.
Yeah, she does do that. But she hugs him in a way to do that.
I didn't read it as a hug.
I read it as
Well,
he's looking at her like he loves her. And, you know, she's just
looking
there
blankly
like,
back at him. So it's just by chance it happened to be her giving him her oxygen and not one of the other dead space suit thingies. No, okay, fine. But yeah, okay, that's a good point. I felt that it was meant to be a sort of a look like it was going to be a hug, when it turned out to be the oxygen thing. And then of course there's a group hug between Bill, the Doctor, and Nardole. And the Doctor then Nardole does something to his eyes, and the Doctor pretends, doesn't he, to be that he can see again. Now, I want to say, before we move away from, obviously, all the crew are in the TARDIS. I forgot to mention this. Don't get a lot of visitors that aren't TARDIS crew members in the TARDIS. But we get a couple of crew members in.
They don't seem impressed being in the TARDIS, you know. They're just standing there smiling like, oh, yeah, we've been here before.
Yeah,
thanks very much, Doctor. Yay!
And the other thing I wanted to point out before... it's Mary. Fine. Mary, you're getting the summons from Kirby.
Mary, I just posted a picture of the Fifth Doctor with his space helmet.
Oh, okay.
And I tagged you, so you
ought to
be able to find it.
Yeah, he does have a helmet on.
Shut up!
Yeah, it didn't work earlier. You
called us for us to talk. Why are you telling us to shut up?
Anyway, Joshua Dybul says, remember, it's his eyes we see in Day of the Doctor.
I just said that, and you got mad at me.
Anyway, right, so can I just point out before I forget, because you lot are very good at detracting me from my line of thought or whatever you call it, I thought that Matt Lucas was really, really good in this episode.
I loved him in this.
Oh, yeah.
Very, very, there was a couple of comedy moments, but he was very serious and I really loved his.
Beg your pardon? If you haven't bought crisps, you're fired. I love that bit.
I don't know much about his work. I only know that he was Tweedledee and Tweedledum in one of the Alice in Wonderland movies.
He started off on when I became aware of him, was on Shooting Stars with Vic Reeves and Bob Mortimer, which is this really anarchic, supposed to be kind of like a panel quiz show, but it was just mayhem. And then he was George Dawes, the drummer. And then he and his friend David Walliams did Little Britain, and they developed the characters. Yeah,
I've got Little Britain. I need to watch it one of these days.
That's him.
He co-wrote it. Honestly, tell him, Debbie, for goodness' sake. I don't know who Matt Lucas is, but he's got Little Britain, which is he's probably the thing he's most famous for. Anyway, moving on.
Everybody's bored of me sewing now. Adam,
why are you not on camera? And why is Debbie not on camera?
She's lovely, isn't she, Debbie?
I turned my camera off because apparently it makes my sound better. But let me turn it back on. I may go share again.
He went fine. I don't know why you turned it back off. We tried you again, didn't we?
Okay. There.
Anyway, moving on.
Oh, speaking of those doors, you know, the shook and everything. Computer.
Oh, no.
Open the pod bay doors, please.
I'm sorry, Dave. I'm afraid I can't do that. I'm not Hal and we're not in space.
Oh, literal.
Can we move on? God's sake. By the way, Debbie, if you want to, if you've got a few pennies to spend, the BBC version of Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy is for sale in Sainsbury's for about £6, I believe, on DVD.
I've already got it.
Right.
I've got it on album, cassette, and DVD.
Ooh. Right. Ooh. So, yeah, like I say,
best album my dad ever bought me. That was.
Bill has got a bit of a scar across her face. I wonder how long she keeps that for.
I think she doesn't have it at the end, does she?
Does she not? And then, of course, they all go home, and the Doctor then Nardole comes out and tells the Doctor off, says, "Look at me," and he says, "Mercedes Benz, I can't look at you."
Okay, you need to explain your reference.
No, I don't. I've explained loads of blooming times.
What?
I explained it loads of times.
Radio adverts here in England, and he's full on buy a Mercedes Benz.
Okay.
Anyway, I can't look at you. I can't even drive a Mercedes Benz anymore.
I'm
still blind. And apparently he's got to pretend.
David Tennant used to do the adverts as well.
Hey?
David Tennant used to do the adverts as well.
But he's got to now pretend to whoever's in the vault that he can see.
Why?
Yeah, that's what Nardole says. If they find out that you're weak, then that's it, basically, is what he says to the doctor.
Oh, okay. I missed that part.
Well, and then
this is why you win. This is why you win quizzes.
No, this is the
this one about
the trailer for next week.
Getting out. So are they able to get out of the vault? I thought that.
Oh, yeah, of course they can. If you get in, out. Well, the doctor can get in with a Mexican meal, so imagine he can get out.
Well, but I mean, the doctor can open it, but I mean, the narwhal was referring to if they ever get out. So I'm wondering, can they control the door from the inside, I wonder?
Well, that's the thing. Yeah, it's like it's become such a huge topic now. It's like, well, how is the vault operated?
Yeah.
Can
I point out something, my little love bundles? Right. So in the first the first little scene that we see from next week's episode is what looks like a Catholic priest holding the doctor's shoulder inside the TARDIS, and there's a group of people in the background. One looks like the Pope, but on the left hand side there looks like some old doctors. I may be wrong, but it does look like a group. It could be just any scientists or whatever. But there's a load of people in the TARDIS behind
the
doctor.
Is this in the next time
trailer? Yeah, the first scene of the next time trailer.
Are you sure it's actually in the TARDIS?
It's definitely in the TARDIS, because it is the TARDIS, and it's got police public call box from the inside in the background.
Yes, definitely.
What is?
Oh, wow. A whole bunch of people in the TARDIS.
Yes, there's looks like religious people. Bill's in it. Oh, I can see Bill and Nardole in the background, but you can see a Pope. Well, it looks like a Pope at least. Unless they've just got a collection of Catholic people in the thing. But on the left-hand side, there's some... it's all fuzzy, but it did look a little bit like the Second Doctor, but it probably isn't.
Vatican.
Yeah, it looks... Wow.
I'm wondering if River Song's book has actually ended up in the Vatican Library, because there's so much speculation over the years about what the Vatican actually has in its vaults. That it's implied that it's a bit like that warehouse from the end of Indiana Jones, with all all the bits and bobs in it that are high risk or covered up and shushed up. They reckon that there is a secret vault.
Didn't they have that in sort of in Dan, what should we call its books, the Da Vinci Code?
First two pages of that, couldn't stand his
I read the first 13 pages and found it so boring I just gave up, but but I think this is sort of talking about secret documents and stuff like that, they're hidden in Vatican vaults and stuff, which is probably true. There probably is
one from the vaults.
Yeah, but there's got to be things like that in the world.
Debbie got it.
I'd be quite pleased if that turned out to be the case, that the Pope has a good library full of stuff that he can't show anyone. Right, so in the background...
Well, that's interesting. One of the staggerers liked my picture of my podcast setup.
Probably
staggering stories.
Yeah, I know the staggering stories, and they're probably thinking, "Good Lord, we've got a proper professional studio. Look what these idiots use." Yes, I'm sure they would.
Well, yeah, that
my great drawing room.
that Adam apparently has individual microphones for everyone, because they all gather in a single room.
Well, I've got individual microphones. Got one for me and one for you lot. So that's individual. Right. There's another scene in this trailer for next week of some Catholic people. The Pope is indeed sat on a set of flight of steps in the console room. There's a bin there as well, a wicker bin, and a couple of other Catholic, I suppose you'd call them hierarchy, maybe his helpers, the Pope's helpers. Yeah, sorry, Debbie.
There's, There's one scene that looks like they're approaching Hogwarts.
Yes. It does, yes. Yeah. And it's interesting to see what Bill is wearing. It looks like a spy lady would wear. You know, that sort of question.
Boy, this is intriguing.
It is intriguing. Like I say, the Doctor also looks, as they're sort of rowing towards Hogwarts, looks like he's filming it with his mobile phone. And actually, the interior looks a bit like Hogwarts with the flights of stairs and everything. Maybe they have indeed gone to Hogwarts.
It's the Vatican, isn't it? The inside bit.
We're having a mashup going on here.
I thought they were going. It did look, because I saw the River Song book, I thought maybe they've gone back to the library. Because that had elements of Hogwarts, didn't it?
Yes. And the last scene.
You notice that the sonic screwdriver is alive again.
Oh, I told you it would be. The TARDIS can rebuild them. Yes, thank you, Mary. Point for Mary, if I had my dinger with me. And the very last frame of the trailer is obviously Missy.
Hooray!
So that right.
I'm obviously then not in the vault, so
no.
There's
I'm going
else
to. Well, it might be another version of the Master. Maybe it's a Sim
Master.
Well,
okay, she's not in my trailer, but I have a BBC America
she's
trailer.
Right at the end.
Right, it's about a split. You blink and you miss it. Right there, then, the last frame of the trailer is missing.
Yeah, not in the BBC America trailer.
Ah, stop.
That's a shame, isn't it? Good, that means it gives me an opportunity to get my phone and take a picture
of
it.
Well, what I will do is I'll go out and...
No, you won't. You won't have to, because I'm going to take a picture of it with my phone.
Red squirrel.
No, I believe you. It's just
why are you saying red squirrel, Debbie?
I just saw one. Cool. Yeah.
Are you getting squirrel?
It's that
film where they always go squirrel? Oh, it's the one with the balloons.
I'm just not surprised that BBC America has done a little editing. Now, have you seen the other little clip from next week?
No, I might have done. I don't know which one you're referring to.
I almost think that Bill has met with her mother.
Do you?
She looked like it.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Her mother came
she
up in this
her
episode.
I told you,
didn't I say to you, right at the beginning, I bet we see Bill's mum later on in the series. Yeah.
And she
thank
called
you.
For her.
And she's talking with her.
Yeah, we were reminded of that in the bit when she was panicking about the fact that she was going to get killed by the zombies, and she's calling for her mum, isn't she?
Yeah.
Yeah, but in this it's
no,
called...
I know, but I'm just saying they kept it going with the community that we are going to meet the mum.
Yeah,
it's listed as extremist preview clip.
Lots of things that link together, and you know he's going to have it all wrapped up in the final episode. You know that.
Indeed. But it's not what I like about it. It's not really crucial. It's just for us people who are prepared to watch the whole series, it just keeps us going. Anybody who wants to dip into Doctor Who, it doesn't really matter that much to them. So that's really
right,
good.
Right. Yeah.
Right, can we talk about what we thought of this episode? Right, I say I have only seen it once. I really wanted to see it a few more times, just didn't have time. But the one time I saw it, I thought it was absolutely superb. I thought this is what Doctor Who is. It's creepy, it's gripping, and a certain amount of scariness involved in it. There's some new things. It's sort of brand new. I know some of the ideas are a bit mixed match from old Doctor Who, but this is a new idea of the suits that are basically got a life of their own. I thought this is a proper Doctor Who episode. I really, really enjoyed it, and I was quite proud to tell the other half and Isabella, watch it. You will enjoy it. It's a really good story, although I didn't find out what they thought of it. So, Kirby, what did you think of this one?
I loved it.
Oh, right.
Absolutely
okay, then.
It.
What am I going to do?
This was really, really good. My biggest problem with it was, as I said before, the gravity thing. And that is so picky. That's just a picky thing of me.
It's just finding a fault, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't think that counts. It's a science fiction really fantasy TV show.
No, I know what you mean. But, it's such a good story that... when you do spot something, you sort of latch onto it, don't you? And go, there's a mistake.
Yes.
Okay.
I'm
done.
I'm bringing up the next time trailer from the BBC.
What's that got to do with what you think of this episode, you silly man?
Yeah, you talked about the trailer.
Yeah. We got Sophie's
well, no, it's just that I was doing that.
Have you done it? Have you finished? Oh, you are. Okay, then. Debbie, what did you think?
Me?
Yes, you.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. I it was such a relief.
Well, that was short.
After last week, where I just said to Tom, just don't bother. Unfortunately, I really did not enjoy last week, and I watched it again, and I still didn't rate it. I'm sorry. I tried again because so many people told me off for not liking it. And but this one, it had all the creepiness. It was, I knew where we were going with the story, as I've said, but that does not distract from enjoying the ride at all. And I just thought it was brilliant, and the acting was amazing for Bill, as I said earlier. Obviously, when Adam was out, we were talking about the bit with her being deprived of oxygen and then being abandoned. It was her acting was superb, and I thought Matt Lucas was great, because there was such a worry that he was just comedy relief, but he was actually like the voice of reason. Let's go, let's be safe, let's not do this, Doctor, let's try and rein you back, but obviously I can't rein you back, so I'm going to try my best to help you, you know, that sort of thing. And I thought the companions, perfect companions, and the Doctor was superb, so there you go. Yeah. I really enjoyed this one.
Well, I thought that Catherine Tate was going to be comedy, and yes, she was exactly. To an extent,
but
there was a proper balance for her character.
Donna Noble is my favourite new Who companion, absolutely.
Oh, yeah, me too.
Without a doubt, she is my favorite.
Yes, absolutely.
And Capaldi is my favorite Doctor because of this. So far, apart from last week's episode, this has been tour de force for him, and I'm so going to miss him.
Yes.
There you go.
Okay, this is what everybody's been waiting for.
Okay, I'll wait.
Oh, go on then, Kirby.
Well, mine has to do with the trailer again and Missy. I just brought up both trailers, the one from BBC America and the one from BBC itself. And yes, the BBC one very specifically has the Missy at the end, and BBC America does not.
Oh, it's very interesting. Why aren't Americans allowed to see it?
Probably missing out on a commercial opportunity, you know.
Yes. Okay. Go ahead. Play Mary's tune.
Right, everybody. This is what it's all about, this episode of 20 Megabyte Podcast. Mary, what did you think?
Well, after the last two episodes, I felt like we've been kind of on a downhill slide. But now this one is like, whoa, this is a great episode. This has everything in it that I love. I love outer space. I love the suspense. I love the monsters in it. We can pick apart some of the, you know, inconsistencies and what have you, and the typical Moffat teasers of things to come.
That's just what like, isn't it?
Yeah. But aside from all that, I mean, well written, really well acted. I just loved all of it, and so I'm not going to carry on. I think Deb did a great job of hitting all the high points of what I would have said too.
No, I did the best job of doing that.
So yes, I loved it.
Okay.
Yay!
That's
best
just
one of the season series.
That is, what can I say?
Not hard.
Right, so apparently we have some feedback on the something that Kirby posted on the page, and it's Dinos Daniel says, best episode of series 12 so far, a classic. Yeah. That's what I said. A base under siege, beautifully shot, and it was really under siege, wasn't it? Scene where Bill passes out and wakes up was outstanding TV. Capaldi is a delight. It was so good. I am so delighted. Outstanding. Joshua Dyball says, super episode. Enjoyed it so much that I watched it again yesterday. Was expecting zombies, but got dead people in computer-controlled suits instead. Nice twist. It's all about the eyes with the Doctor. His eyes were the first glimpse we got of him. Spoilers. Is it really a spoiler? I think it's still...
No, he's referring to the fact that I think he's referring to this rumor that it's all going to circle around.
Yeah, but it's still a rumor, isn't it? So it's not spoilers. Unless it turns out to be the case.
I'm just happy they made this episode, this a one standalone episode. If they've gone the route of two, it yes. would have like before the flood.
I wonder if we're going to get any two-parters, because I would have thought we would have had one by now.
Well, we've got a three-parter.
We're about to have a three-parter.
Are we?
Oh. Yes, it's three parts, yeah.
Oh, great.
They've said that it's three altogether. It's one thing, oh, it's, one arc.
So it's a bit like the Two Doctors then, because that's the last three-parter we got in that sort of 40-minute format, you know. Yeah. But information for you, Kirby. You didn't think of that one, did you?
No, I didn't.
No, we have now, because I just told you. Okay, that's great.
It was fun listening to Colin talk about filming that one last weekend.
Okay. Should have recorded it for us then, shouldn't you?
Oh, leave him alone.
Jeff Waddle says, 889810.
Wait, you didn't finish Joshua's
yes, I did.
Comments. Yes, no, I did. He then said, if the series keeps us up, it will go down as one of the best so far. Then time to say goodbye to Capaldi.
Okay, maybe I didn't read that bit. All right, Jeff Waddle says...
You read that bit.
I interrupted, I'm sorry.
889810. That's what I'd score this season so far. By far the best first five episodes of a series since it came back. Creepy as hell, space station zombies, bits of Ark in Space, bits of Silence in the Library, the running out via a display. That what's not to love? I don't think Pearl M is a brilliant actress. Not seen her in anything else, but the fact that she isn't Clara means she's miles ahead of her for me. This is how you write a companion.
Favor, isn't it?
This is how you write a companion, and this is how you write classic Doctor Who story with it not having the companion as center of everything. I just hope the blindness isn't a convenient concept to help in the next week's episode where seeing a book kills you. Oh, that's interesting. I haven't enjoyed a run of Doctor Who like this since it came back, and I just wish Capaldi had been given stuff like this from the start instead of being lumbered with Danny Beep Pink.
You're here.
But yeah.
Was that a comment just sent to you, or did he post that someplace?
That was on the feed.
I didn't see it.
Well, no, he sent it to me via email, via the 20MB dot feedback at gmail.com, everyone. Yes, the old email
address. Oh, no, I saw him do he did a post about it as well on Facebook, how much he enjoyed it. That was where I saw that. Sorry.
I have two messages from Ian Kirk.
Two?
Maybe he didn't like the first one, and that's why he withdrew it.
Did he? I don't think he sent feedback in last week.
He sent it last week.
Hey?
Did he send one last week?
I'm not sure now. I'm confused. And I'm trying to work out what I'm supposed to do. They look similar.
We'll go with the latest one.
Go with the latest one.
Okay, well, do that one then, shall I? They said go with the latest one, so that's what I'm going to do. If it's wrong, Ian, it's not my fault.
Hello, 20 MB Podcast. This is Ian Kirk.
Hello.
First, a bit about last week's story.
Yes.
Bill's housemates had to be brought back. Otherwise, Bill would have had too much attention focused on her as the sole survivor of the disappearance.
I was singing this earlier.
Oxygen by Jamie Matheson. A damning indictment of capitalism and its concomitant abrogation of employment rights, which predicts its demise. The read-through of this story was in October, so it would have been written during the US presidential campaign.
Sorry.
Some of my best friends are British. Is a pun on the cliche about having Jewish friends. The TARDIS would not be too happy about anti-blue prejudice. This story was broadcast just after Chelsea won the Premiership.
Hey.
Last week, Bill's housemates were brought back from the dead. This week, Bill was. The idea of autonomous spacesuits has appeared before in science fiction books. And there's a three-part Stephen Moffat story starting next week. What if the occupant of the vault is Eric Roberts' master? What does this have to do with crop rotation? Laughing out.
Thank you very much, Ian. Yes, I was, that's a reference to the fact that Spurs didn't win the Premier League. Oh, dear, what a shame. I noticed also, in regards to Missy, and talk about blue as the colour, that Missy is wearing a TARDIS-coloured, like, suit.
Well, she was doing that. She did that little thing on a teaser thing where she's painting the TARDIS.
Yes.
And
yes.
She says that she has to wear TARDIS blue because she's going to get it all over her.
Okay, right. So, Doctor Who news.
Ah, broke my thread.
Oh, dear, how sad. Never mind. Well, what date are we on? 15? By the way, what wasn't on Doctor Who news, very important some information, that this is essentially our 7th birthday episode. Happy birthday to us.
Yay!
So, is there a wasp in here? So, what? Yeah, unfortunately, with the final results of the the viewing figures, it's difficult to work out which one's which actually. But we have one here. It's a Thin Ice. Did we do that last week? Thin Ice was episode 2, so we've done that one. Yep. We'll move on from there. Actor Jeffrey Baildon has died. He was 93 years old. And apparently he played Catweasel in the eccentric 11th century wizard who was a star of LWT's children series. Oh, actually, he played the Crowman in Wurzel Gummidge. He's very recognisable as a Crowman in Wurzel Gummidge. But he was also in Doctor Who, Creature from the Pit, that classic story with a very strange-looking phallus, and amongst other things. Yes, he was born in Leeds in 1923, joined the Royal Air Force, and then went into acting. And yeah, it says about the Catweasel thing that he first appeared on Saturday afternoons in February 1970 in the role that would endear him to a generation of children. So sad loss, but again, he was a good age, 93. Pardon?
I remember Catweasel. I was born in 77. It must have been like reruns.
Repeats, dear. I don't remember it at all. I remember the name Catweasel, but I always thought of...
I graduated from high school in 1977. Good grief.
All right.
What else we got here news-wise? Overnight viewing figures for Oxygen, 3.57 million. Again, we don't need to have to worry about that, what appears to be low figure, because it seems to double and a little bit more by the time we get the final... viewing figures. But again, we still got Britain's Got Talent on at the moment. That comes to the end of May, so it'll be interesting to see once that's off air if Doctor Who's viewing figures go up at all, because ITV really hasn't got anything scheduled after Britain's Got Talent finishes. Deb, and you're so good at this, can you do the reaction to Oxygen feature?
Oh my god, hang on.
Yes, put the needle down, don't prick yourself with it.
Oh, we didn't have a Alan T. Butcher.
Alan T. Butcher is canvassing for a general election.
Yes, we know.
So he's not going to have Alan T. Butcher, honestly.
Yeah, we're expecting a bonus edition, once he's in office or not.
We had discussed this while you were out, Adam, but I was hoping that you just had one sitting in your inbox.
I don't. But what I say, I'm hoping that he wins his, which he won't, because I don't think Labour's ever going to get in his constituency. But he say he did, he goes into Parliament and mentions us in the Houses of Parliament. That'd be really cool.
I'd like to thank the podcast. So, reaction to Oxygen, you wanted,
yes? Yes, please.
Okay. The Telegraph called the story terrific and tense. It was suitably scary right from that eerie 2001 meets Alien opening scene when shadows loomed up behind poor Ellie. And the lurching zombie army had a real sense of menace. Ooh, Namira called the story a claustrophobic treat. Writer Jamie Matheson has proven his worth in the Whoniverse with previous outings including Flatline and Mummy on the Orient Express. Digital Spy felt the episode was bloody brilliant, apparently. Great deal of wit and pace, is stylishly produced and does most everything you want Doctor Who to do on a Saturday evening. Den of Geek also liked the story. I'd argue it was as good a standalone episode of Who as we've had in this run. Radio Times felt the story was creepy, but the premise absurd. I struggle with the central conceit that in the future in space, Oxygen will be a commodity that you pay for dearly, even with your life. Okay. I don't doubt that will actually happen, Ars Technica gave the episode a B overall. It's another very good episode of Series 10 Doctor Who, The Dark Foreboding, that ought to remind the Doctor that fear makes companions of us all. AV Club says the episode bites off way more than it can chew, feeling the story should have been spread over two episodes. I disagree strongly that, it would have
been. This would not have gone.
It was right. And all the stuff, this part, the whole of the Capaldi era is go, that should have been one episode, that should have been two, that should have been, that sort of thing. So, yeah. Doctor Who Watch again praised Capaldi's acting. I thought this episode let Capaldi shine in a way we haven't seen before, in one of his most human moments, doing something for one of the most human consequences. He still does it despite the risk. IGN had mixed response to the story. The episode itself is not one of Season 10's strongest outings. Oh, my goodness.
What?
Really? Who said that?
Bill's death, IGN. Bill's death and the Doctor's being struck blind don't quite land. Okay, fine.
They haven't got a clue.
Well, yeah, I mean, we kind of picked on those, but we didn't think it took away from the story.
No, not at all. Screen Rant likes this year's story arc, framing the Doctor's yearning for adventure and freedom with his obligation to watch over the vault. And finally, Games Radar thought Oxygen was marvellous, praising Pearl Mackie's performance as Bill. Seeing her scream for her mum when the Doctor leaves her behind is guttural and heart-wrenching. Pearl Mackie's acting is consistently honest, raw at times, and never, ever whimsy.
There you go. That was news, everyone.
Strong, really strong.
Master.
Yes, darling, yes,
there's,
darling.
There's a bit of tangential Doctor Who news.
There is.
Because it's connected with Curse of Fatal Death.
Oh, yes.
One of the doctors from Curse of Fatal Death was awarded a BAFTA fellowship.
Oh, yes.
Joanna Lumley.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
You know, I missed the TV BAFTAs last night, and I was so gutted. I've forgotten all about them. I just hope I can download them from iPlayer. But were they on ITV?
They're on iPlayer. The whole thing's on iPlayer.
Oh, good. I'll have to download that, because I'd like to see them. Anyway, right. So we have whowon.co.uk, which is our illustrious sponsors.
Indeed.
From nearly, 6.5 years they've been sponsoring us. Probably a little bit longer than that. And they have various products available for you to purchase remotely. So when I say remotely, I mean around the world, like the DWM 512 with Peter Capaldi on the cover. And you can get that, before you can, if you subscribe, I think you get it quicker. £5.99. TARDIS Desk Tidy. $14.99. I need one of them. I need a few of them in this room, actually, to be fair. And the TARDIS eraser, which is what we call a rubber here in the United Kingdom. Plus some, is it class books or are they the DVDs? I can't see if they are.
They're books.
Yeah. So Deb will be buying them and reviewing them on her podcast. I haven't got a podcast. All right. In her Facebook page. I haven't got a Facebook page. Yes, you have.
I do. It's called the TARDIS Bookshelf.
There you go. We'll get that then. You can do the class books. Of course, you can also get some of the Dr. Mr. Men books there as well.
Yay!
Which I haven't got yet. And I was going to get for my birthday. I have £40 birthday money. So I've got some choices to make.
I made Isla read them all to me. She's like, these aren't normal Mr. Men, Mummy. I was like...
I don't know whether to spend my £40 birthday money on a couple of camping nights at Thorness Bay with Isabella, or on something superfluous like that I'd probably never read, but just have them for the sake of having them. So those items and a very splendid memorabilia and merchandise Doctor Who related. You can get them from whowon.co.uk. Other sponsors who are marvellous and wonderful are lavazi.co.uk, who have the most wonderful array of Fourth Doctor scarves
you can buy in
the world.
I need to store my scarf, wrap it around the TARDIS thing back here. It's my background.
Okay, but yes, among the Doctor Who items you can get are stuff if you want to go cosplaying. They're great accessories for cosplaying, but you can also get Sherlock items, which are obviously not as sort of recognisable as the Doctor Who ones, and Star Trek bits and bobs, along with your standard fashion stuff that aren't related to any sorts of science fiction series at all. But yes, whowon.co.uk, lavazi.co.uk, our sponsors. Please support them. Okay, well, next week we've got a three-part story, but we can't really review the story until it finishes. What do you reckon?
Yes, we can.
Well, I suppose we could do, because we'd be speculating about what's going to happen next. Yeah. So I think we'll have to carry on as we are. So the idea is to record on Sunday, which is the 21st of May. And
Mary.
I won't be there for Sunday.
Oh, yeah, you said that, didn't you, Mary? Can you send in some audio feedback? We had audio feedback from you last time. You couldn't be bothered to show up for a show. And it was lovely.
So what time?
Oh, 7 o'clock. I'd like to move the recording time back to about 6:30, but it's difficult because Deb has a dinner at that time. The problem with the idea of doing it earlier, it means I don't get told off by She Who Must Be Obeyed that we're keeping her awake, because she goes to bed quite early, because she gets up at 4 a.m. on Monday mornings, because it's her day out. She has lots to do. She gets up really, really early. So ideally for me to get the show finished by 8, that'd be great, but I can only do that in agreement with all you lot. So at the moment it's still 7 p.m. BST.
Earlier is fine by me, but it just depends on everyone else.
Well,
just...
Debbie's got a family to cook for, haven't you, Deb?
Deb is fine. 7 is fine.
Yeah, we're going to do it at 7.
Cool.
Right? Good.
And so, and well, we need to inform...
your mind and do it Monday, then I'll send in feedback.
That'll only happen if something drastic happens. She gets annoyed on Mondays because I have to keep on nipping out the move to various customers and things. Alicia's supposed to be coming around at some point this morning.
What?
My birthday visit.
Lucky you.
Yes.
Yeah.
But yeah, so next Sunday, this Monday in fact now, so it's 6 days' time, it'll be... what's this? The first episode of this three-parter called then?
Extremis.
Oh.
Extremis.
Cool. Look forward to it.
Extremis.
You sure it isn't Extremis?
Please keep your feedback coming in. Please keep listening to the show and watching our new angle on the Facebook page. But until next week, thank you. Goodbye.
Bye. Goodbye, fancy pants.
By Doctor Who podcast is an APV services production sponsored by whoone.co.uk and lavazi.co.uk. We are a proud member of the Doctor Who Podcast Alliance. Doctor Who is a trademark of the BBC. No copyright infringement intended.